Welcome to my podcast, Stories at Will. Thank you for finding me. My name's William Lewis. All I can say about the first story today is that the narrative spins hopelessly out of control. It's called Chapter 8, but it might be Chapter 12 or even Chapter 5. Who knows? The Reverend Mabel Ellison wondered how she was going to explain to the bishop her presence, 3 meters up, in the churchyard tree, wearing only a pair of pink silk pyjamas, and clutching the verger's second-best binoculars.
"Mabel,"
said the bishop. "Your Grace, good morning," said Mabel.
"How are things up there?"
asked the bishop kindly. Fine, thank you, Your Grace," said Mabel. "As you know, life has its ups and downs."
"One moment, Mabel," said the bishop. "I'll just fetch the verger's ladder."
As the bishop began to walk towards the verger's shed, Mabel cleared her throat.
Your Grace, I don't think you'll find it there."
"Not there, Mabel."
"No, Your Grace. I believe the ladder may be..." She paused.
"Elsewhere. With the verger."
"Well, Mabel, we'd better get you down soon. I believe the school bus may be passing in 10 minutes, and you appear not to be attired in conventional ecclesiastical dress."
"Thank you, Your Grace," said Mabel, quickly calculating whether or not she should reveal to the bishop the verger's current location and the overnight events of the ladder. As she pondered, the clopping of horse hooves could be heard along Wisteria Avenue, and who should appear but Cowboy Pete.
"Howdy, y'all,"
said Cowboy Pete.
"Peace be with you," said the bishop.
"Cowboy Pete," said Mabel, grateful for the distraction from the pressing issue of the verger and his ladder. "I love your shiny chaps and your polished saddle horn, but really, what are you doing in this story?"
"Howdy, y'all,"
said Cowboy Pete.
"That's a very charming but rather small horse," said the bishop.
"Y'all, your reverence," said Cowboy Pete. "Mighty fine, y'all, and yep, a little horse. That's why she's called Strepsil."
At the sound of her name, Strepsil skittered in a piebald sort of way.
"Steady, Strepsil," said Cowboy Pete.
"Cowboy Pete," said Mabel, "just sod off into the sunset, will you? This is my story."
Sorry, Mabel," said Cowboy Pete. "Strepsil and me, we just thought we'd rescue y'all from this tree."
"Hold on there,"
said Black Jake, appearing seemingly from nowhere and brandishing his cutlass.
"If anyone's going to rescue Missy Mabel from this galleon in distress, it's me, Black Jake. Rawr!"
"Black Jake," said Mabel, more than a fathom surprised. "Where did you come from? And, more to the point, what does the R in your surname stand for?"
"Never you mind about that, Missy Mabel," said Black Jake,
climbing over the gunwales, his shirt crusty with salt and his boots blistered with barnacles.
"Just drop into my jolly boat, and I'll have you out of this before you can say pieces of eight."
"Why on earth would I want to say pieces of eight?" said Mabel. "You can sod off too. It's my story, okay? Is no one listening to me here? My story, my story, get it?"
"But what you all doing in the tree?" said Cowboy Pete. "And in pink pyjamas,"
said Black Jake. "Look," said Mabel, "I'm really sorry you've not been picked for stories recently, but it's my turn now. It's 2023, okay? I don't need to be rescued by cowboys and pirates, and I can wear what I want, thank you, even up a tree in pink pyjamas. And as for you, Bishop, you can sod off too and take the verger's binoculars with you."
"Mabel," said Cowboy Pete, clearly hurt, "what about rattlesnakes at the Cactus Ranch?"
"Mabel," said Black Jake, spitting out a chaw of tobacco, "what about 20 fathoms of plunder?"
"Mabel," said the bishop, pocketing his chasuble, "what about your ordination party?"
"Boys, boys, boys," said Mabel, "we've had such fun, and I've loved you all, not at the same time, obviously. But life moves on, and it's my turn now. I can get down from a tree, so go back to your genres and prepare for publication." She adjusted the time control. The street darkened and the street lights brightened. After some head-scratching and foot-stomping, and a few regretful looks, the bishop said, "Come on, guys, we don't need this. Location catering is still open. Time for a quick one, and a nose bag for Strepsil."
"Steady, Strepsil," said Cowboy Pete.
"Arr," said Black Jake.
Wisteria Avenue quietened again, after the earlier excitement. Mabel put her fingers to her lips and whistled, two soft ones and one long one. From the corner of Larch Buttocks came a reply, two soft ones and one long one. Moments later, Mabel was clambering out of the tree and back down the verger's ladder to the pavement below.
"Oh, Vergie," said Mabel, "I've missed you."
"I've missed you too, Mabel," said the verger. "But now it's our chapter." To be continued, in which Mabel is gored in a bullfight and Detective Henderson is surprised by an alien life form. Well, that was a jolly adventure, and thanks to the intrepid cast who took it over. The second story today is a darker one. My German artist friends used it for the cover of my first book, which came out in July 2022. It's called Stopping by Woods. Most of you will know why I wasn't expecting to be there, nor was expected to be there. All that was a long time ago. I'm sure you understand. When the car stopped that night, I thought I could leave it, walk to the village, and get it picked up in the morning. The snow had eased, and it wasn't deep. I had stout shoes, my cashmere overcoat with my woolen scarf, and my Homburg. But God, it was cold. I got to a fork in the path, and wasn't sure which track to take. What made me take that one? I don't know. How do we ever know? It led me through the snow-dusted trees to an open glade, and there was the house, my old home, Kingsthorpe, a substantial house, brick, three stories. We were substantial people. The house now looked empty, deserted. I wondered what had become of them all. I stood in front of it, outside the gate. Three crows landed beside me, dark rags on the pristine surface, their cawing loud and raucous in the white stillness of the night. A light came on in an upstairs room. I saw a figure, a woman, Sissy. More lights came on from the other windows, flooding the glade with warmth and welcome. And more people. There was Angela and Kate. I could see Ron and Arthur. The rooms were decorated with bunting and coloured lights. There was dancing and music, food and festivity. And there she was, Margaret, still lovely as ever. I didn't understand. How could she be there? How could any of them be there? I took a step forward. And another, until I was outside the window. I could see them all. I tapped on the glass, but no one noticed. No one looked towards me, outside the window, in the snow, my shadow long behind me. The party continued, fun and laughter, the dancers whirling there without me. I tried the front door, desperate now. I banged on the old knocker, but no one came. No one heard. I had no part in this scene. I ached with loss and longing. Again outside, again excluded, never invited. I walked back to the gate, then turned. I had to look. The lights began to extinguish, room by room, until the house was dark and empty again, apart from the light in the upstairs room. Sissy was still there. Was she looking towards me? Could she see me, silhouetted against the snow? What did she know? Then that light extinguished too. My feet cold and wet, my breath steaming in the icy air. The crows cawed again, and I shrilled some more at their cruel laughter.
How ridiculous I am to think I could begin again, to do it differently this time, to think maybe there was a chance of being able to change things. Of course not. What is done. No comfort or redemption now on this cold night, alone in the glade, surrounded by the purity of snow, three crows and an empty house. My nose was running, and my eyes watered in the freezing air. No, it wasn't the air. I was weeping. I wept like a child. No comfort. How could there be? What is done. I walked back to the fork, took the other path to the village, found a room, found a whiskey. A tap on the window pane. I pulled back the curtain. A crow on the windowsill. Then another. Across the square, a light went out. Hope you enjoyed those two stories. Thanks for listening. I'll be putting new stories on Stories at Will every week or so. That's all for this time. Find me again soon at Stories at Will. This is William Lewis, looking forward to reading for you next time.